Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. In the months leading up to last year's presidential election, Democracy Forward issued the People's Guide to Project 2025, calling it one of the most profound threats to the people. They warned that those behind Project 2025 were preparing to go to incredible lengths to create a country for some, not for all. They knew what was going to happen, and they were prepared. Democracy Forward has filed 60 legal actions and has launched 82 investigations under the current Trump administration. So far, they've stopped the federal funding freeze on infrastructure funds, blocked ICE from entering houses of worship, convinced all 9 members on the Supreme Court to say people cannot be removed from this country without due process, and just won a temporary restraining order blocking the decimation of an agency that funds libraries across the country. They say they're just getting started. Skye Perryman is president and CEO of Democracy Forward, a national legal organization that advances democracy and social progress through litigation, policy, and public education and regulatory engagement. Hi, Skye. Thanks so much for joining us again.
It's great to be here again with you, Rose.
Well, Skye, I have to say, we had you on many times when we did a series on Project 2025, and we heard from a lot of people who said, you guys are going way too far. This will never happen in this country. And here we are.
Here we are. But we're ready.
Put out this amazing People's Guide to Project 2025. I have to say, we did so much research on Project 2025. You were one of the only organizations that we came across that really dug deep. You're the ones that talked about Head Start going away, the Department of Education. I mean, I feel like you all dug much deeper than anything else we found.
Well, we really tried to. Our team put a lot of work into both looking at Project 2025 and also understanding what this ecosystem of very far-right, anti-democratic, anti-democracy groups wanted to achieve. And we took it really seriously and sought to explain it. But as we talked about at the time, we weren't just looking at how to explain it to people. We were also looking at how we could protect people and communities if the federal executive branch, if the president, were going to seek to accelerate the implementation of Project 2025. And I think that's what you've seen in our work at Democracy Forward in the last 100 days.
You also filed so many lawsuits during Trump's first term. What is different this time around?
I think, you know, there's a few things that are different. One is the administration is operating with more speed than they did the first time. Now, I do want to say they were very fast the first time, and it was its own version of shock and awe in 2017. But we are now, of course, in the middle of what is a very problematic Democratic backslide. And as a result of that, the administration is trying to move much, much quicker than we saw them move the first time around. The first time around, it was the Muslim ban, right? That was sort of the thing that people remember. Now you have so many of these things: birthright citizenship, DOGE, the funding freezes, the grant terminations, terminating civil servants, all in a series of all in a very series of speedy actions. The administration this time has issued more executive orders than it did the first time around. The first time around, it was really seen as governing by executive order. It was still an administration that did not want to go through Congress and did not want to go through the process that we have in the country to make policy. But in that first administration, I think they issued about 40 or so executive orders. We've already seen this administration issued over 100 executive orders in the first 100 days. And then, of course, this is an administration that has had a hubris about their position in the federal courts that I think was unwarranted. I think they thought that they somehow owned the federal court system, that they were going to just be able to breeze by. And they have hit that wall again as they did the first time, because the actions that they've taken are so unlawful and so harmful. Judges from across the political spectrum, by the way, including judges that the president himself nominated and were confirmed by the Senate, have taken actions to block the administration. That's not dissimilar from the first time around, but it's on a greater scale. But this time, the administration has been more open in their lawlessness. They are taking the position in many cases that court orders are optional, that they may not have to follow them. And so that is something that is a new and unique challenge this time around. And, you know, we're dealing with that challenge, and we can talk about it on the show. But those are some of the new pieces.
Well, I want to give out the phone number for listeners. If you have any questions for Skye Perryman about what is happening in D.C., it's very hard to keep up because things are moving so quickly, as she said, and so many lawyers are filing lawsuits. Democracy Forward alone has filed 60 lawsuits and has launched 82 investigations. So if you have any questions about what is legal, what is not legal, and how lawyers are responding, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We will also be talking about what the courts can do when the Trump administration defies court orders. Skye, what has surprised you the most this time around?
Well, one thing that has been surprising is really, I would say, the way in which much of the pushback that we are starting to see is transcending normal politics. Now, I know that there are many people that that feel like they're not seeing enough pushback. We, of course, at Democracy Forward see the pushback every day, because every day we see people and communities going to court across the country to be able to defend their rights. And we're seeing such a unique and, frankly, such an American diversity of people that are coming into court. I mean, right now at Democracy Forward, we are representing religious organizations, religious groups like the Baptists and the Quakers and the Sikhs. We're representing a Republican who was appointed to lead an independent agency and was unlawfully removed by the president. You know, we're representing climate groups, but we're also representing journalists and researchers and educators and veterans, so many different people that are coming forward in new ways, showing up in court in new ways. And while that doesn't surprise me in terms of, we know that the vast majority of the American people oppose these extreme policies in Project 2025, it's the reason the president had to say on the campaign trail he didn't know anything about Project 2025 is because it's so deeply unpopular. I think it's been surprising to see how many unique communities have been willing to do new things, especially in the face of the president's targeting, the president's intimidation, Elon Musk's targeting and intimidation of people across the country. So that's certainly one major thing. I think a lot of people that you ask that question to would say how fast things are moving would surprise them. The extreme nature of things would surprise them. Unfortunately, that does not surprise us here at Democracy Forward, because this was, of course, the scenario that we were most concerned about. That doesn't mean that it's not hard to deal with and that there aren't a lot of challenges in dealing with what's happening. But I think that this, the administration's really operating out of a well-known playbook, a more autocratic playbook. And so in that way, some of these actions, while horrifying, are really not surprising when you understand that playbook.
Right. And we did shows about ProPublica's reporting exposing that the people behind Project 2025 were interviewing people who would be basically yes men and women, and they would not disagree with Trump's plans during a second term. And they had all of this laid out well before the presidential election. And there were reports on this thanks to ProPublica. Can you explain to us how the process works? So when you all learn that the Trump administration wants to completely get rid of an agency that funds libraries across the country, or when you learn that ICE is entering houses of worship, walk us through what happens after that. how you all file lawsuits. What's the process involved?
Well, there's a few different ways that the process can unfold. You know, there's a lot of stuff that the administration, that Project 2025 made clear, or that the administration tried to do the last time around, and they were blocked in the court. So they're just trying to kind of get a redo on or to accelerate. And in those cases, the communities that were most affected, whether they were communities of educators or communities of parents or, you know, young people, voters, had been concerned about what would happen in those instances. And so we're able to be in community with them and to plan and prepare for them so that when the administration acts, you can get into court really pretty quickly, because what they're doing is something they advertised in one way or the other that they were going to do. Stephen Miller had made no qualms about the fact that he wanted to improperly use wartime powers to expand the president's power and to try to engage in immigration activities that are outside the bounds of our immigration enforcement laws and regulations in the country, right? Through the Alien Enemies Act. We knew that would be coming. You can't predict how it's going to come or exactly when it's going to come. Then the president goes out and gives a speech and says he's going to do something. And so you can get into court pretty quickly. So that's one category of cases. There's another category of cases, and I would put the initial work by DOGE when they would go into federal agencies and breach data sources, you know, really compromising all of our personal data around the country. We've, by the way, won a big nationwide order that is blocking DOGE from having access to American Social Security data that's at the Social Security Administration, which is really important. But there's those cases that we didn't really know. They weren't on the bingo card, right? Like they weren't in Project 2025. And so in those cases, you see these reports or people call you because there's something harmful's happening to them. And the team has to assemble and figure out how to get into court to defend people's rights. And so that process is not a glamorous one. It's a lot of late nights. It's people moving very fast. It's, you know, people having to put off our lawyers here at Democracy Forward having to cancel on whatever they had planned for the evening, put off whatever they were going to do with their kid. These are real people that every single day are showing up and are not letting the odds deter them and are getting into court on behalf of the American people. So that process plays out in our offices in Washington, D.C. It plays out in communities across the country where our lawyers live and work. And it's a process that we're committed to and that we're continuing to add to our team to be able to do. And then in other instances, there are sort of actions that the administration takes where you kind of had some idea they may be coming, but you're not entirely sure how they were going to look. So there's been some preparation. And in many of those cases, either us or other organizations will have done some initial thinking, but you still have some work to do to get into court. So that's the process. Now, the pieces of it that are new this time around is that every single person and every single group that has been courageous to go into federal court and say, you know, we have constitutional rights. We have rights that are granted to us in this country that the president can't take away with the stroke of a pen, that Elon Musk can't just whisk away or buy away through some mergers and acquisitions transaction or whatever he's up to. All those people now, of course, the administration wants them to feel afraid. They're taking a number of actions to threaten them. They're threatening judges. They're threatening my lawyers. You know, they're engaging in that kind of behavior. And so this process now is one that also involves a lot of work to create community and to create courage for people to be able to continue to defend their rights and to continue to defend this country at a time when it really is something that might be a more scary thing to do. And so that's the other piece of the process.
So because so much is happening, some listeners might not be familiar with some of these cases you're talking about. So just to focus on a few, because these are so important, Democracy Forward represented a coalition of unions and retiree advocates in a legal challenge to DOGE's illegal incursion into the Social Security Administration. I'm just reading from your your news alert here. Plaintiffs filed the lawsuit and sought emergency relief after uncovering new facts showing that DOGE operatives gained access to private Social Security records. A lot of our listeners are on Social Security. According to the declarations filed in court, personnel entered SSA systems without appropriate legal authority, bypassing key data safeguards, placing private information at risk. We're talking about bank account numbers, health records, wage histories, immigration status. And the court ordered DOGE to delete all unlawfully accessed data and temporarily block further access. You all say this marks the first time a federal court has issued such an order since the Trump administration took office. So the question here, Sky, because we know that they're not abiding by all of these court orders, is how do you know they're going to do this? How do you know they're going to stop accessing this private data?
Well, this is a big part of our work every single day, because this is an administration that wants to do two things. They want to try to deter people from going to court. So they want to go out and say they're not going to follow court orders, or they want to try to not follow court orders, in part because they don't want people to use the court. So they want you to think there's nothing you can do and it's all hopeless. And one way to do that is to say, well, it doesn't matter if you win. If you win before a judge, by the way, that this president appointed, which we do in many cases, it doesn't matter because we're not going to follow the court orders anyway. And so the good news here is that our team and the teams of lawyers at so many organizations and the state AGs, as well as the judges themselves, are being quite vigilant about this. So in that case, as one example, the court has been, the court has really been quite vigilant and attuned to every time we get a concern, every time we see something and we have to raise it with the court about the compliance with court orders. The court has held the government accountable to that and really wanted to make sure that the government was complying. And so that's what we see in a number of our cases. You have some cases, for instance, like the case we have before Judge Boasberg on the Alien Enemies Act with our Venezuelan client that we're litigating alongside our friends at the ACLU. And in that case, the government has taken a brasher position where it hasn't just been enough for the judges to hold a status conference and see how things are going, but the government really disobeyed the court orders in a gleeful way. And the good news there is that you have a judge that has continued to use the court process and lawyers that are using the court process to hold the government accountable to that. So so these things are playing out. It's not completely satisfying, because it's very concerning that we have an executive branch that is misusing the Department of Justice and that is not complying with court orders. But I will tell you that the lawyers are getting very good about raising these issues, and the judges are being quite consistent in really expecting that their orders be followed.
We're speaking with Sky Perryman, president and CEO of Democracy Forward, a national legal organization that advances democracy and social progress through litigation, policy, and public education. In the lead up to the presidential election, they issued the People's Guide to Project 2025, calling it one of those most profound threats to the people. They have filed 60 legal actions and 82 investigations under the current Trump administration. If you have any questions or comments for Sky about the work they're doing, about what is possible in the courts, there have been a number of stories about what happens when the Trump administration defies court orders. Any questions about these issues? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. In February, you all issued a press release saying that the District Court of Maryland issued an order blocking the administration's policy that enables immigration officials to enter houses of worship indiscriminately to conduct immigration enforcement operations. The order, which outlines the ways in which the administration's policy is likely to violate religious freedom and expression, applies to plaintiffs' houses of worship. And this was filed on behalf of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. It consists of 1,400 churches in the Baptist denomination, serving about 750,000 Baptists, 30,000 Sikhs, and six Quaker meetings. So the same question. So this court ruling came down, but who is enforcing this? I mean, what happens if agents decide to enter a church in, let's say, a small town in Texas, for example?
Well, they're not able to enter the churches and the houses of worship that are involved in this lawsuit, which, as you mentioned, are hundreds of thousands across the country because of the court order that's in place. And our team has been working with the court and you know, bringing issues to the attention if there's ever a question. But in this case, they've been following court orders with respect to the actual houses of worship that are involved in the case. Now, unfortunately, right now, the way the law exists and the way the court order is fashioned, this court order applies to the individual houses of worship and the associations that represent individuals' houses of worship that were involved in that case. So there are definitely likely other houses of worship across the country that are not enjoying this protection from our court order. And, we are going to continue to work with other groups and through the courts to try to get as much protection as possible. But again, this is a situation where there have been reports and we've had concerns. We've been able to raise those with the government, raise them with the court, and ensure that the parties to our case are protected by the court order that we won for them.
Well, let's take a few calls. Let's hear from Katie in Berkeley. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for this incredibly important show. I am headed to law school in the fall, and all I'm thinking about is how to be of service in this battle that we're in. So if you have any advice about ways to prepare and, you know, what to focus on as an incoming law student, I'd love to know. Thank you so much.
Well, congratulations, Katie. Thanks so much for calling. Sky, what are your thoughts on Katie entering law school and others who are in law school or are thinking about going?
Well, first of all, Katie, thank you for wanting to go to law school and for wanting to pursue justice through the law. We're going to need a lot of folks that are committed to this journey of justice because the challenges that we're seeing right now and the role that the courts and lawyers are playing, they're not momentary. And this is a long haul fight. So I'm so incredibly grateful that you are not discouraged and that in fact are going to dive in deeper. Advice that I give to people that are going to law school, and then I'll talk a little bit about our moment right now. But a lot of people don't like law school, but you should look at it as a real opportunity to get to spend the time to learn the types of things that you're going to want to relate back to throughout your career. It is a great time to get to spend time and avail yourselves of expertise to understand the history behind a lot of the laws and protections that we have today. Things like the Privacy Act, for instance, that we're litigating right now to protect individual Americans' privacy. You learn about the history of that. Guess what? It came out of a time where there was a president in office, President Nixon, that was trying to access information on individual people for retributive purposes. And Congress said, no way, right? And that protection continues to exist for the American people. So law school is going to be a great opportunity to do that. And I think if you look at it through that lens and not necessarily through the lens of all the reading and everything you'll have to do, it'll give you a good foundation for moving forward. I always tell people to get to know your fellow law students when you're in law school because they do become the lawyers that you will practice with throughout your career. Even if you don't think you will, you'll cross paths with them, and it's really important. And then the third thing that I always tell people is that one of the most important part of being a lawyer in our society, lawyers have some special privileges, right? We get to take on clients and have conversations with our clients that people can't discover because you're trying to represent a client to help them through a hard time, to help them defend their rights. And those privileges come with extreme responsibility through our code of professional ethics. The code of professional ethics that tells us that we have to zealously advocate before our clients, the code of professional ethics that requires loyalty to clients, that requires, by the way, every single lawyer in this country swears an oath to the Constitution to defend the Constitution in all of those ways. And so really taking time in law school to understand those rules of professional ethics, to understand the community that you're going to be able to be a part of, I think is really important. And it's all the more important now. So this is what I'll say about this time. You're going to be entering law school at a time where I think the future of our country in so many ways is going to be determined by what happens in these courtrooms and what happens outside the courtrooms. But what happens in the courtrooms? This is the most, one of the most consequential times for the law, for our Constitution, for our constitutional rights, and for our democracy. And so I'm incredibly excited that you're going to go to law school. But I think that don't let this time be lost on you. This is a consequential time. You will be studying the very cases that will define the scope of the scope of the future in this country. And so that's an incredible opportunity. And I think we're all grateful that more people are wanting to enter the legal profession in this time.
Skye, how did you get involved in this work? I mean, taking on the Trump administration, working with Democracy Forward.
Well, I was a lawyer at a large corporate firm, actually one of the firms that has been targeted by the president that has done the right thing and that has gone into court to challenge the unconstitutional attacks on law firms. But I was a lawyer at a firm and litigated cases, always litigated cases on behalf of people that and businesses that were being represented by the firm. They're paying clients, and then always had a very active docket of public interest clients, civil rights plaintiffs, people that were detained without proper process in Guantanamo Bay in the Bush administration were some of my clients, and then of course reproductive health care professionals and patients. So I always had a public interest docket in addition to my private corporate docket. And then in the wake of the 2016 election and the early days of 2017, when we started seeing what this administration was doing at that time, right? That was its first version of shock and awe 1.0. Lawyers were really having a moment, and it was the ability of lawyers to get into court to stop things like the Muslim ban, at the time when it first went into effect, to challenge the steps that the president was taking to undermine the ability of people to vote or to intimidate people into not voting. It really led me to this path where Democracy Forward was founded. I was on the founding litigation team here. It just seemed like that there was more that I needed to be doing with my law degree than I could do in corporate legal practice. You fast forward to now, and of course, we have a time, it's a real crisis in the private bar, because so many law firms are not doing the work that they need to be doing in this time to defend the Constitution. Some are, and I think that they should get a lot of credit, the firms that are continuing to stand up for the rule of law, but many are not. And that's a real crisis in our profession. And I am, you know, very grateful for groups like the American Bar Association that have made it clear to all of us as lawyers that we all have an obligation to support and defend the Constitution in this time. That's what our oath says. And I'll just tell you, we get a lot of people that reach out to us at Democracy Forward offering to volunteer their legal services, because this is a moment that lawyers are having. It's a time where we have a professional skill that can help this country. And it's been really inspiring to see how many lawyers are willing to use the law in this time in that way.
And so much of what we're seeing now is really unprecedented. The New York Times had a piece a couple days ago called "Some Giant Law Firms Shy Away from Pro Bono Immigration Cases." Fearing the wrath of Trump, some elite law firms are declining pro bono work on lawsuits, challenging the administration's policies. I mean, have we seen this before?
Well, this is certainly very consequential and unprecedented in terms of what we're seeing across the board. But I will tell you, in the Red Scare, in the McCarthy era, there was a time that it was unpopular, looked down upon. There were threats from the executive branch at times and from committees in Congress around that were really trying to judge lawyers for who their clients were, who they represented. And it was the law firms that took on the unpopular clients, the lawyers that were willing to do their job under the Constitution, regardless of what the cost of that was to them, that ended up being the heroes in that time. And so I think that that's what we tell our lawyers here. That's what we're encouraging the private bar. We're encouraging the private bar to see it that way. There will be a time where we will all be asked what we did. And there are lots of lawyers across this country that are going to be able to answer that question with pride. And there are many across this country that right now now are not going to be able to do that. But it's not too late for them, and we need everybody on board here defending the Constitution. But this is such an unprecedented attack on lawyers in the legal profession.
Well, we did a show about the Red Scare a couple of weeks ago. You can find that show with Clay Risen at KALW.org, click news, and then your call. Today, we're joined by Sky Perryman, president and CEO of Democracy Forward, a national legal organization. They've filed 60 legal actions and have launched 82 investigations under the current Trump administration. Thanks again for calling in, Katie. Let's go next to Philip in Pacifica. Hi, Philip. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you all? This is going to sound like a setup at this point, but I'm a semi-retired lawyer, and I was just calling to ask Guy, how do I volunteer to help your cause? What's the most efficient way to do that?
Well, we are so excited that you might want to do that. So for you or anyone that wants to volunteer, let me give you two things. One is we have recently launched Rise Up, the Federal Lawyers Legal Defense Network. And that legal defense network, so it's Rise Up, the Federal Legal Defense Network. And that is a legal defense network for federal workers, for the Americans who have protected and served all of us who are being unfairly targeted by the president. They need legal representation. You can go to workerslegaldefense.org. That is workerslegaldefense.org. Or you can go to civilservicestrong.org, which is Democracy Forward's project that's supporting this work. And you can sign up as a volunteer lawyer to help the public servants that have helped all of us. So that is one thing on the civil service that we're encouraging lawyers across the country to do. We launched this network just a few weeks ago. We've already had thousands of people come forward, and we would love to have you with us. The other way that you can help us at Democracy Forward is to go to our website, democracyforward.org. You can email us at info@democracyforward.org and tell us how you want to volunteer and get involved, and we will set you up with a project and with something that you can do. So thank you so much. So that's democracyforward.org, and you can email us at info@democracyforward.org. Of course, we want you following all of our social media channels and signing up for our newsletter, but email us too at info@democracyforward.org, and we'll get back to you. And then if the other project is the Federal Workers Legal Defense Network, which is a great group to volunteer with, workerslegaldefense.org.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in, Philip. Let's go next to Andy in Redwood City. Hi, Andy. Thanks for holding.
Hi. Good morning, Rose. Good morning, Ms. Perryman. Thanks for all the work you're doing. I'd like to know if Ms. Perryman knows where we are as far as articles of impeachment goes. I've heard Bruce Fein and Ralph Nader have some articles of impeachment out there that represent Al Green of Texas has been working on that. And there's no doubt this guy wants to be a dictator. He does not care about the Constitution whatsoever. If he could have pulled off that insurrection on 1-6-2021, he would have done it if he could have gotten his vice president to go along with that. As far as the electors went, the John Eastman plan, he would have pulled that off. And here at the UN, he votes against democracy by voting with Putin concerning the Ukraine war at the UN, when we've been allies with the Europeans and with the other people supporting Ukraine. I mean, I find this a total abuse of our policies. And the main litmus test for candidates that we elect is, will you impeach? Will you impeach? We got to get this guy out of there before he destroys us and becomes a dictator. Thanks.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, Rose, I would just say I think that there have been some members of Congress that have filed articles recently.
And do you expect anything to happen with these articles?
You know, it's hard to know, really. I mean, and this is something I think we need to see. The American people right now across the country, we're seeing in communities across the country, people of all political backgrounds are really concerned about the future. Some of them are concerned about the economy. Some are concerned about the rule of law. But everyone is agreeing this is not going the way that they really want it to go. And a lot of people have a lot of fear for the future. So I think that we have to really watch where the people are. And then, of course, we'll continue to monitor these activities in Congress as well.
Thank you for calling in, Andy. Sky, what is it like being in D.C. with so many people losing their jobs? I mean, so many people who have dedicated their lives to government, whether it's national parks, the oceans, climate, offshore wind. I mean, people just across the board are losing their jobs.
Well, I do spend time. I mean, we're based in Washington, and so I am here, especially during the week. But I'm in a lot of communities across the country in rural areas in Virginia, where my family and I spend a lot of time on the weekends. Our friends and family in my home state of Texas, where I spend a lot of time with my family, and there are civil servants in every single state and community across this country. And in all of those places, we're seeing the people that have, and including in Washington, and including in Washington, Virginia, and Maryland, where there are a number of civil servants, but in every single state, there are civil servants. And in a number of those places, we're seeing the very people who are not partisan in their jobs. They swear an oath to the Constitution, not to any political ideology. They work every single day, not for praise, not for fame, not for a big corporate salary, but just to serve people in this country. And they're being targeted by the president. There's been misinformation and disinformation spread about them and their public service. And then so many of them are now in danger of losing their jobs or have lost their jobs, including, by the way, people who do work to keep the United States safe as a national security matter, both at home and abroad. And so I just think that we need to really understand that these attacks on our federal workers, they're not just attacks on the civil servants, they're attacks on every single American. And most of the people that I've come in contact with across the country who are civil servants, they have a deep sense of service and loyalty to this country and to the best of this country, even as they themselves are being targeted. And they are more than being concerned about their job. They're concerned about what's happening to the country, where we're losing so many people that are dedicated, that have the expertise, and that are doing these jobs day to day. And so it's a devastating situation. It is why at Democracy Forward, we launched Civil Service Strong. So for your listeners, you can go to civilservicestrong.org and learn more about the civil service and about our work at Democracy Forward. We hired Rob Shriver, who was the head of the Office of Personnel Management, that did a lot of work to support federal employees and our public servants. He's leading Civil Service Strong for us here at Democracy Forward to make sure we can do everything we can to be there for the people who have been there for us, and also to hold this administration accountable for what it is doing. We have secured the first mass reinstatement of public service jobs. Tomorrow, we have lawyers that will be in court in California, actually, with respect to a big case that we filed to challenge many of these unlawful terminations. And so we're going to continue to fight every day in court for a better future. And then at the same time, try to do anything we can to support our public servants.
Sky, in our remaining minutes, how are you all going to continue doing this work for the next 4 years? I mean, it takes money, obviously, to file these lawsuits, so much time. I mean, it's nonstop. How are you going to find what it takes to continue this work? I mean, because it seems like, based on what you've done, this is just the beginning.
It is just the beginning, and the road ahead will be more challenging, but even more important. We are supported. We're a nonprofit. We represent every single client pro bono. And so we do so appreciate that your listeners, every time I come on and talk to you, Rose, we see people reach out to the organization of how it can support us. And so we do encourage you to go to Democracy Forward if you can, and to support our work, definitely through signing up for our newsletter. And we have a donate button if you're able to donate. That money goes straight to all of this work that we're doing every day. But we're determined, And we know a lot about how our country, the history of our country, which has not been a history of ease, of times that were just easy. Democracy is something that is achieved. It is something that has to be fought for. It is something that has to be earned. And it's something that has to, you know, it's really only as strong as the people that are willing to fight for it. And so we are determined as we move forward in these more challenging days to be people that will help others across this country fight for the future and the country that we all deserve for our democracy. We are so pleased that even in this time, as the president lobs a number of threats and intimidation towards lawyers, at Democracy Forward, we have people beating on our door every day to come be part of our work. We are expanding our team. We're expanding our volunteer base. We are expanding our docket. And we are going to continue to do everything it takes to make sure that the American people have representation in order to protect their rights in this very perilous time. So thank you for always having me on to share about our work, because I do think that it's so helpful as we get more supporters that can help us at this time.
Skye Perryman is president and CEO of Democracy Forward, a national legal organization. They have filed 60 legal actions and have launched 82 investigations so far under this current Trump administration, and they say they are just getting started. Thank you so much for joining us again, Skye.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you. Coming up after a break, we will talk about the San Francisco International Arts Festival. As the celebrated festival was underway, organizers learned that a $20,000 NEA grant would be immediately canceled. Director Andrew Wood said, "Trump will not stop us." He'll join us after a break. We'll be back after this.